Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's happening, guys? Welcome back to the Born Offside podcast. The special guests keep rolling in, and this one's going to hurt Kat, who's listening from home today. I'm sorry, Kat, because not only is Kat Lebanese background, huge South supporter, huge football fan, and we have that here on the couch today. You may know him as the NRL superstar. What you may not know is he's a football fanatic. Josh Mansour from South Sydney Rabbitohs joins us in his Arsenal kit. How are you, Josh?
Good, brother. How's it going?
Good, mate. Good to have you back. We've got an NRL veteran and a new NRL sensation. This guy here all of a sudden is shot to NRL TikTok fame.
He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
I'm just everywhere. Still recovering from the magic round.
Yeah.
You'll be both.
Made it. I mean, I think we bumped into each other.
It's all a blur, really.
We'll talk about that one later. But it was a great experience.
Where'd you boys head out?
On Friday we went to some Benji club, and then Saturday I don't even know what it was called. No, with Mr. Percy's and somewhere else.
Mr. Mister.
All I remember at one point, the VIP section, I couldn't move.
It was sardines.
It was jam packed. I was like, get these birds out of here. No, I'm just keeping them.
I have to go out the back of the kitchen.
That's all I remember, but it was a good weekend. I think next time I just need to prepare myself because it's a lot, isn't it?
The
whole weekend is a lot, but yeah, still recovering.
I mean, as a player, like Magic Round, is that one of the highlights of the season? Do you all look forward to that? Because like the whole league is in one city. You boys must all know each other. You've all played for different clubs. Is that one of the highlights of the year?
Man, it's unreal. Yeah, it's just a buzz about the city. Like everyone's out, everyone's got their jerseys on, ripping their colours, and as a player, it's the best thing ever. You know, you go out there to play for the fans. You know, the stadium is packed. Suncorp is one of the best stadiums in the country, and atmosphere is second to none.
Stadium's mad, isn't it? Yeah. Like, I've never been there. First time I've been there, and I'm just looking around, and I was like, wow, this place is jam packed. Everyone's buzzing. Like, there's a real kind of like feel to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was good.
I think the only concern as a player I had was the pitch. I don't know if it was going
to
hold up.
Oh man, it was by the third day, it was ruined. The first day I was watching, I was like, oh, this is like a nice pitch. And then by the time it gets to Saturday. Sunday, I'm like, you're playing on Sunday, you're like, this is 100.
And the thing was, like, the weather was relentless. Yeah. It stopped pissing down the whole time we were there. So, but it was still good fun.
Still good fun, I can imagine. Especially once again, you guys got lucky enough with a Saturday 3 p.m. kickoff. That is the dream time. Well,
it was the dream time, man. Had the whole afternoon to night. It was a good weekend.
Bro, that's what it's all about. And our first onside offside of the day is actually about Magic Round.
Okay.
Talk to me. Now, Joshy, mate, we talk at length about football and everything else from around the world and the A-League, right?
Yeah,
we all want to see the A-League do well.
100%.
It needs help. We all know that.
Yep.
It will get there. Could the A-League have something like Magic Round? Do you think it would work in Australian football, onside or offside?
Ooh, now that you say it, I reckon definitely onside, because I reckon it'd be, like I say, a place where you can get all the fans in one place.
Is that a good thing, to have all the fans in one place? When I first heard the idea of Magic Round, I thought like...
It depends if there's enough security.
100% security. I think onside for sure as well.
I'm
going to go on back of you.
Yeah, to be fair, but are the football fans, will they get that rowdy, you reckon?
Oh, it depends. I mean, imagine in the UK.
Yeah.
Imagine Magic Round.
Oh, yeah. Nah,
imagine all these clubs
City
in there.
Burn down. That would
be horrible.
Buildings would be on fire.
Arsenal, City, United... Chelsea fans all like one. Yeah, it'd be horrendous.
Yeah, it'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
It'd be bad. Oh,
that's why we love Australia. It's pretty tame. I mean, we saw 100%. A few things popping up around social media, but you know, that's expected after a fair few beers. We'd love to see the A-League bring something like that in. We've got some questions already rolling in, actually. Mm-hmm. You're repping your Arsenal kit.
Love them.
Crispy04 and Tim Lewis both asked the same question. Like, what made you an Arsenal fan?
Well, I started playing soccer when I was five, and between when I was 5 and 10, one of my good mates, Michael, was centre striker partners.
Yeah.
And
did you striker?
I was a striker. Okay. Yeah, scored a few goals when I was a kid. You know.
Yeah.
And I remember Thierry Henry, Bergkamp, Blumberg, Pires.
So you got tricked.
Sol Campbell.
You got tricked into it as well.
I did. Yeah, but I've been hurting the last 20 years. But so I hope that kills you. Being an Arsenal supporter, but man, been a fanatic ever since. Never turned my back on my boys, and I've just been to love them. Just love them, man.
What a team that was, eh? Oh, like, look back.
Which one's harder, football or footy?
Oh, Far out.
Footy. get himself in trouble here.
But does it help? Because I've actually spoken to a fair few footy boys that like did grow up playing that. And even some of the lads, like I know like Reynolds, who's moved now, but I used to coach his son like when he first started playing, you know, young, like little soccer. It's like 2, 3, 4 years old. And he said, I want him to play that because then, you know, when he's older, he can choose what to play, but at least he's getting some basic skills here in the kicking game. We know how his kicking game is as well. And he puts it down to playing soccer when he was younger. Did you feel that as well?
I definitely felt that. Yeah, 100%. I'm actually going through the same thing with my son. I don't even know if I'm going to put him in footy yet or if I want to put him in football. But he sees me running around with an oval ball, so it's going to be hard to convert the kid. And I don't think he's built for a soccer player, a football player. And we'll see what happens. I'll let him decide.
What does the missus think? Because usually that's when the missus get involved and they don't want him running head first at people, and that's where...
Man, she's pretty cool. Like, whatever he wants to do, let him do. She obviously sees him to play rugby league, but... Yeah. I'll let him decide. We'll see. He's only 2, but
talking like he's
crazy. 2, but he looks 5. But I've got to stop feeding the kid. See what happens.
Love that. Love
brilliant,
that.
Brilliant. We've got a question here rolling in for you and me, actually, Olan.
Okay.
It's from Buller 2152. Says,
that's
question.
My guy. Yeah, no, Buller.
You know Buller?
Yeah, he's my number one Twitch supporter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ledge. But he's gone, look, question for Olan and Claude's. How are they feeling after Sunday morning? I'm seriously worried for them. FA Cup final. Chelsea went down Liverpool again on penalties, Olan. What'd you make of it?
You know what? I've given up, but I'm just like, I'm really indifferent about it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I wanted us to do well and win or whatever, but I just had a feeling... After the first half, I was just like, you know what? I just don't think we're going to do this one. And obviously, Mount misses the penalty. Yeah. I think anyone else but Mount. But yeah, I just felt like indifferent because I'm like, this season, again, it's just been an anti-climax. We started really well.
Yeah.
I was gassed. I remember making all those TikToks at the start of the year. Lukaku's back. We got this, we got that. You know what? This is our year.
Yeah.
And then it's just like slowly just...
Down the escalator.
Yeah, slowly. And obviously the off-field stuff...
Yeah, doesn't help.
Doesn't help. But again, it's just for me, one word, just anti-climax, man.
It's tough though. Penalty shootout twice against these guys. Yeah. Like Liverpool haven't actually beaten Chelsea all season. So 4 times they've met, 4 draws. 2 of them went to penalties and in the league it was 2 draws. So they've managed to match... Arguably the best team in the world, you know, on their day, but it hasn't worked out. Trophyless season for Chelsea. For Arsenal, it's all about the top 4.
Yeah.
Every year, it's all about the top 4.
And they're sweating on it. Oh. It's going to go right down to the wire. You visited probably a few times, but I know you've definitely visited back in 2016. You did the stadium tour and all the rest. Tell us a bit about that.
Man, that was so cool. Especially, I was fanboying the place. I saw the minute I walked in, I bumped into Hector. He's a stylish lad. He's cool, man. He's a good dude. And, we just briefly chatted. I walked in the Colney Centre and, it was so cool. Yeah. It was so cool, man. I was just starstruck by all the boys. I watched them train and, shook a few of their hands. And I was actually meant to have a little bit of a penalty shootout with Peter Cech, but I did my ACL the week before. So
that wasn't
going to happen for
bad,
me.
Bad timing.
Tell me about it.
Devastating.
Yeah, I know, right? But, for me as a fan, man, it was an awesome experience.
Because as a pro athlete, you guys, footy play, especially here in Sydney, but even in Queensland, like you're the epitome. You got all these facilities, you got everything. But when you go over there and see the standard of the Premier League, because we know how big the money is over there, is it another level of just
next level?
Yeah.
Next level. I remember we're staying at St. George's Park, England's base.
Oh, sick.
And I think it was like 17 fields or something, like 16 fields. It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was like, which one are we going to train on today? Yeah. Like, honestly, it was just unbelievable. And just to see the treatment the players get is just second to none, man. Yeah. And, they deserve every penny, of course,
You think they deserve all that money that they get?
Oh, man. There's all
if there was a little bit of that in footy, it would be a bit different.
Don't get me wrong. I won't be complaining, man. Yeah. But the scrutiny they're under and, it's the world game, right? Yeah. So, I think they deserve every penny. Mm-hmm. They worked hard for it all their whole life, so why not?
Exactly, and they're right under the microscope all the time, especially Arsenal with the Arsenal Fan TV and all the rest.
Ruthless
fans. Oh, when you were there, Arsene Wenger was the gaffer.
Yes.
Same when they came and visited Sydney. Yes. Since then, it's been Unai Emery, now Mikel Arteta. Mm. What have you made as these managers? How have they gone at filling the gap that was left by Arsene?
I was just talking about it before off air, with Unai Emery, seeing him take Villarreal to the final, I was like, did we make the right decision by sacking him a bit? Was that a bit too early? But saying that, I'm really backing Mikel on this one. Yeah. I really loved him as a player. Love his tactics. I love how he's got the team going at the moment. And, what is it? His second year now? I think give him a bit of time. Yeah. Still young. He's obviously learned under Pep Guardiola. So, he's one of the kings in terms of managers in the game. So, you know what? I think Arsenal made a good call.
Yeah. And I think everyone respects Arsenal because we know the first three games of the season were terrible. They backed him. Yeah, they stuck with him.
They've done very well to stick with him.
They're kind of almost there. Now, by the time kind of when this podcast goes out, Tuesday morning, they will have played their game against Newcastle. It's going to be a very difficult game at St. James Park, especially after Spurs.
Yeah.
Beat Burnley this weekend, battered Arsenal last week. Olan, who are you tipping here? Antonio Conte and Spurs got a stacked team. Kane scoring, Son's on fire. Or are you back in the young guns of Arsenal?
My heart is saying Arsenal because I want Arsenal to, because of how they started the season, I want them to finish fourth after all that they went through. But my head's just saying Conte and Tottenham is just, he's won a Premier League before.
Yeah.
He just knows how to get the job done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not pretty. Yeah. It's not amazing football, but he gets the job done, you know? So that's what my head's saying, you know? Yeah.
Oh, don't ask me.
What were you feeling on that 3-0 loss last week? Where did it go wrong?
Oh, yeah, you know, so I was in my hotel room. I thought, you know, I'm going to wake up and watch this game.
Yeah.
1-0, 2-0, red card. I'm like, I'm just going to...
Early as well, wasn't it?
I was going to end the misery early. I'm just going to shut it off and get some sleep.
Yeah,
so,
good decision.
Yeah, it hurt, man, but, you know.
Rob Holden, what was he doing?
Oh,
God, man.
Do you reckon that was an actual card, the one on Song?
The first one, second one was a yellow, I think. Yeah,
the second one was like an elbow.
The elbow, he's clearly looking at him. Yeah, and there was no need.
But the first one, I don't know.
First one was questionable.
Yeah.
A lot of those decisions in the Prem recently, but could come back to haunt them. Either way, though, it's still in your hands.
Yep.
St. James Park, tough place to go, but hopefully they get the result. I'd like to see Arsenal back in the Champions League. Mm. There is chat of them adding a bit of a want away because the biggest news was Erling Haaland. I mean, we know that's pretty much a done deal. He's going to Man City. He was actually out in a nightclub on the weekend.
Really? I saw that.
In his Dortmund tracksuit.
Unreal.
Wait. In City or where I was in?
No, he's still out in Germany.
In his Dortmund tracksuit.
In his Dortmund tracksuit.
You've got to say it.
Well, I guess when you're him, it doesn't really matter what you roll out in.
Would you ever go out in your South tracksuit?
Hell no. Can you imagine? Yeah, I look like that absolute tool. But Erling can get away with anything.
He's going to be one.
He's the hottest thing on the market at the moment. So
people taking pictures left, right and centre, man.
Yeah. You got to see the dancing, bro. You got to look at him. He's bouncing around like a proper robot, man.
It doesn't surprise me. Man.
Can't wait to see the big fella in the Prem. He'll be there. Alvarez as well from Argentina looks like he's going to City. So it looks like there's no room for Gabby Jesus, and he's been linked with a move to Arsenal. Would you take him?
100% with open arms. Yeah. 100%. I think we're lacking up front at the moment. I think we got Lacazette. Hasn't been really playing that much game time.
Yeah.
I love Laca. Don't get me wrong. I love him since he was at Lyon.
Yeah.
But we got obviously the young buck and Nketiah.
Yeah.
He's been going good too.
He's been doing good, but you probably need an established striker.
Yeah. So, Gabriel, I think he's an established Premier League striker. You know, he scores goals, he assists. Definitely take him.
And anyone that's played under that Pep system, bro, you take him. Because they're going to come in and they're going to know
different, how. They've got a different kind of knack, you know. Once they've played under Pep, won a Premier League, you kind of know how to win, you know. So,
but really, who else is open on the market? Like,
crazy,
in Gabriel's quality. There's not that much at the moment, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big call.
Well, strikers are moving left, right and centre, right? Because Luis Suarez announced that he's leaving Atletico Madrid at the end of the season. No one knows where he's going to go. He's getting old. Mm. And I think... I'm just saying. Open the checkbook.
I knew you were going to say it. Anyone that's on almost finished their career, of course, is like... the A-League's calling. Anybody.
I dream big, bro.
Yeah, you got to dream big. You know what? It's funny how you say that. And I was talking to... the guy that does Bloke in the Bar, and he was like, you know what, they need the A-League, they need to just bring in like a big marquee, just bring in someone that's just going to put bums in seats on Wanderers or Sydney FC. And I'm thinking, you know what, that's a good idea. Like, if Sturridge had gone to Sydney FC or Wanderers, do you reckon that would have just changed the A-League completely?
If
he got on the park and went to one of those teams, people would have been going to games?
Yeah, but he needed to play. Look, I do, with all due respect to Sturridge, big player, I think Liverpool fans would have turned out to see him. But we're talking Suarez, I think he's another level, right? And I think since Del Piero, there probably hasn't been that level of marquee. I'm not joking. I know I've brought this up a few times on the pod. Yeah. I've said bring him to the A-League.
He's got good
stuff. This one, I actually believe in, because Luis Suarez at the point now, he's a machine, but he's getting now into his second half of his 30s.
Yeah.
I don't reckon he'll get a European contract. Mm. He's good mates with Bruno Fornaroli. When Fornaroli was announced to play for the Socceroos, he tweeted him saying, like, best of luck. Like, played together when they were younger. Surely Fornaroli gets on the phone to him.
Surely.
That's what it's about, the connections.
And you know what? He'd suit the Western Sydney Wanderers.
I was about
he
to
would.
Say. 100%.
He actually would suit Western Sydney Wanderers. Suarez to Western Sydney Wanderers.
Suarez to Western Sydney.
Let's make it happen.
You want to make... You watch the A-League turn on its head. You bring Suarez to... I'm being Sydney biased here, I'm sorry. But you bring Suarez here to the Wanderers and you bring Zlatan Ibrahimovic to Sydney FC.
Oh, my God.
My God. Put it in the universe. universe. Put it in the universe.
And you watch this league flip on its head,
Could
bro.
You imagine? That would be insane.
That'd be epic.
People would turn up. And that's what we need. We need something in the A-League that can just get fans rejuvenated again.
And the biggest thing is you need those characters, right? It's not just about getting a good player. I think you need those characters. Like Zlatan, you know, is going to come in here, he's going to say crazy shit, he's going to go on shows. Yeah. Same with Suarez. But yeah, strikers moving left, right, and center. We know Haaland's moved. Ibra did announce that he's leaving. Lewandowski might have played his last game for Bayern.
Where does
he go?
I strongly doubt he'd be kind of the A-League. He's one of the best players in the world. Where does he go now?
Arsenal.
That's not a bad shout. But surely I'd like to see him in the Prem.
Yeah.
But it's just who takes him. You got to think he's only going to go top four. City's obviously out the question. Maybe United if Ronaldo's leaving. Chelsea, we've got Lukaku still. So, you know, Liverpool, no. So I think maybe only United could do a job on United, you know.
The strongest rumour at the moment is Barcelona.
I thought it was a really done deal for that.
It got leaked that it was a done deal, then it got taken back, but I have a feeling that's a good move because you look at Barca, so much young talent. They play great football. They just need someone up front to put the ball in the net. There's no one better than Robert Lewandowski, so
100%.
Would love to see that happen.
Yeah, that'd be a shout. That'd be a good shout.
They're obviously in town next week. You going to the game?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm organising my who to take with me now. I called Mitch Moses
up. You got
Mitch Moses
four, I think. Yeah. Four, five, yeah.
You got a spare one?
If you want to come,
I need knowing
Mitch, you probably drop out on me last second. Yeah. So,
I might come. Ailey doesn't follow me back, so I need the hookup. You know,
so. It's good. A-League All-Stars, that's going to be an awesome opportunity for those lads to play against Barca. Actually, I heard a bit of a rumour. I don't know if I brought this up last week about Xavi and the team. Oh. And he's not letting them party when he's here.
I don't know if you brought it up, but you told me.
Man, like, imagine this in the NRL. So I heard that apparently they were offered a private party afterwards. Xavi said he doesn't want his team doing that. Then I heard that they even organized a private cruise. They're like, okay, you don't have to have, you know, women or anything on the cruise if you don't want. Just a private cruise for your team, just them, around the harbour after the game to see Sydney. He even turned that down.
Let the boys live.
Let the boys play,
honestly,
right?
Honestly, 100%. Yeah. Like, tough gig as well. Their season's finishing up, what, this week?
Yeah.
And then they're going to, on a plane to come all the way to Australia. Like, surely.
I know.
It's about living a little bit as well, isn't it?
Mate. Yeah. Like I've read Zlatan's autobiography. He talks about Pep Guardiola at Barca, and he said it was run almost like a school ground compared to some other clubs that he's been at. They really don't let them do much, and I think Xavi's adopted that. But surely this guy, like Memphis Depay, man, if he's coming,
he's probably sneaking out.
He's going to be at the Ivy for sure.
We'll catch him somewhere.
Yeah, we're going to
100%.
You telling me Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's not hitting the town?
Oh my, 100%. Of all people. For sure.
Aubameyang's definitely out partying. 100%. I'll grab him. I might DM him.
Please do.
Give him a tour.
Get him on the pod and then we'll take him out.
Yeah.
That'd be huge. Can you imagine that?
Can you imagine?
Big Pierre with his chrome Ferraris and chrome Lamborghini. He's got the ugliest cars, but enjoy him. He's a great player.
He's a character.
You talk about world-class strikers. Take a switch to the women's game. Chelsea actually did get the job done in the FA Cup final in the women earlier this morning, and it was Sam Kerr, the Aussie, that scores yet again.
Shock,
right? Shock. I mean, big shout out to Hayley Razzo because she scored the equaliser for City to send it to extra time. It was a peach of a finish as well. But then Sam Kerr steps up in extra time, scores yet again. I mean, as far as Australian athletes around the world go at the moment, she's going to be one of the biggest.
Not even just Australian, just athletes in general. Like, I think now she's out of that box where we're just like, she's one of the best Australian. I think she's in that category now where she's just one of the best female athletes.
Yeah.
Period. You know what I mean? Because
I agree.
What she's doing is amazing. Is it talked about enough? Do they give her enough hype? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But what she's doing is just amazing. Like, the next generation of women's footballers coming up, seeing that will be a huge impact on the game.
Yeah, sure. And the winner that she scored, she had a teammate free as a bird in the box. Didn't pass, shot, took a bit of a deflection, but it's that luck you get when you're super confident. I mean, you've been winger of the year. When you're playing at that level and you're super confident, you just try that stuff and it comes off, doesn't it? You can't explain it.
I feel like things just work out for you, 100%. You're playing with a level of confidence where, you know, you're not afraid to take a gamble. You're not playing stiff, you're playing free, right? So anytime you've got the ball in your hands, man, you just got to do whatever you see in front of you. Sometimes, you know, when you're not playing with full confidence, you kind of stiffen up. You just want to, you know, follow the same structure all the time. Just do whatever the team's doing, but... You know, obviously when you're killing it, you like to take things in your own hands and things just work out for you.
It's crazy, the mental side of sports.
It's huge, man. It's huge. You almost unlock a different part of the the brain and like how much you can do when you have that little like little bit of confidence, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, the Premier League title race is going down to the wire, and Liverpool fans are starting to rejoice because City slipped up. It looked like they were going to lose that game.
Wow, what a game as well. Jared Bowen, I mean, what he was talking about it last week, Mariappa was talking about it last week, remember?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And he's just gone and bagged two goals.
Yeah.
Good finishes as well against City. But if they could have held on, I was
like,
you just knew that City were going to come back because it's City.
Yeah.
But yeah, they slipped up on City standards.
They find a way. And I tell you what, they needed an own goal to get them back into it. But they're still in front. It's still in their hands. They also, during the week, unveiled a new statue of Sergio Aguero.
Tony Cruz.
Have you got... You look a little bit like... Aguero.
You reckon I look like Aguero?
A little bit. Can you see it close?
In height-wise or look-wise?
he's not ugly, though.
He's a good-looking fella.
Get a picture of Aguero and put him next to Mansell and see.
Aguero and Mansell. Aguero is probably about, what, 65 kilos, Sergio Aguero?
I don't know what he is.
Obviously,
his calf's a huge butt.
Yeah, he's a tank.
You look a little
bit. Have you ever got that one before?
Never.
No.
Never.
Have you gotten any footballers?
Oliver Giroud.
Yeah.
A bit of a story about that, actually. When Arsenal come out, I was actually lucky enough to go downstairs where the sheds were and see all the boys and stuff. And I'm like, just sitting there, like, high five with the boys. Giroud. Like that.
When they were in Sydney?
When they were in Sydney downstairs. Watched Arsenal's press conference as well.
Yeah.
Didn't have the balls to ask a question, but that's all right. But yeah, I saw Oliver, and the biggest compliment I got from him is he liked the same beard as he liked my beard.
Oh, really?
Like, nice beard. I'm like,
thanks. Wow. You can write that one down.
Oh, bro. He's a dude as well.
He's a dude. Yeah, he said you got a nice beard. And that guy's like pristine, you know? Like he's well shaven. He's just like...
He's such a good looking
footballer. Yeah, he's a good looking guy. God, he's definitely top five looking, good looking footballers in the world for sure.
100%.
And he's X Factor as well. I mean, Aguero, no disrespect, but you probably take Giroud over Aguero. So I agree with you. I'll give you Giroud over Sergio Aguero.
I'll give
you.
I didn't think Aguero was an ugly dude.
No, he's not ugly. But I definitely don't think he's
ugly. You definitely take Giroud over him.
I mean, let's look at this statue, right? For those of you who haven't seen it, Sergio Aguero, I mean.
I saw it getting trolled on Twitter.
It's getting trolled because the funny thing is, I kept thinking, I look at it, I'm like, it looks like someone, I'm not sure who. Tony Cruz then retweets it and goes, are you sure that's Sergio? And if you really look at it, it looks more like Tony Cruz.
Oh my God.
Then it does
it
Sergio.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's weird.
And literally 2 weeks after Real Madrid have eliminated Man City from the Champions League.
Oh my God.
They unveil this statue that looks like Cruz.
Cruz is a bit of a troll on Twitter, isn't he? He does get involved in some beef. Like that's funny.
He's got bans for a German. He's got bans. <It's> not bad.
That's funny.
But yeah, big for Sergio Aguero. He's another one that big on Twitch, yeah? He's big in
the universe. He's a huge gamer. Yeah, he's a huge gamer. Like, I'm pretty sure he just like... When he's not playing, he's just on Twitch, just like sitting there gaming.
I saw he had Balotelli on his Twitch stream recently.
And really?
They were just going in on players, like just being super honest about everyone. It was so funny, man. But some other big news for Aussies overseas. We know that. We knew this was going to happen, but Ange Postecoglou officially wins the title.
So good.
How good is that? Lifts the title. Tom Rogic is leaving the club. But, you know, you want to focus more on Ange. I mean, how good is that, bro? To finally have Aussie. We've had Aussie players before, but now to have Aussie managers go in there and winning it, it's just huge for us.
You think he's the best? In terms of Aussie managers?
You know what? I saw a question come up the other day and it was, look, football managers, non-negotiable. Yeah. He's the best. No one's ever gone and done that, right?
Yeah.
But there was this question that came up the other day and it was, is Ange Postecoglou on his way to becoming the greatest Australian sporting coach of all time?
Wow.
Ooh.
You guys got some huge ones in your game.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare because like how far, it's not like... You know, in rugby league, they can't really go to a team in Italy and Spain and to win Champions Leagues. It's just it's a different, you know, different scope of work.
But
I guess if Postecoglou was to keep going, let's say he goes into the Premier League and has success there, could he be the greatest 100%. Australian sporting manager?
I think so, yeah. And I was going to ask you, was he really rated over here? Were people really raving about him, saying he was having that sort of potential?
I don't think so.
Because I feel like he was like misused or mistreated here.
Yeah.
And
you're
then
not
suddenly
wrong.
Over there he's like, people are like, oh wait, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You're an Aussie guy now.
Yeah. Well, you've met Aussie football fans, yeah?
Mm.
It's just very tough to win them over.
It's a tough gig.
It's a tough gig. Aussie football fans are just wired differently for some reason and there'll always be a lot of skepticism. And when he was, you know, managing the national team, playing formation, he's not good enough, he's that, right up until the final day. And he said that. He said he felt more respected in Japan, not even speaking the language, than he felt in his hometown in Australia.
So it says something.
It says something, yeah.
I think Graham Arnold's copping it now. So is he the right man for the Socceroos?
We were talking about this before.
It's the same.
It's the same kind of thing. I'm giving him all the time in the world. you know, because like I don't gain anything out of sitting here and going, he's shit. You know, like what's he got to work with? Yep. What's going on behind the scenes? You know, Ange did go to a playoff as well and then made the World Cup. Mm. So I'm giving Graham Arnold the time of day, but it is tough. Do you feel that in Australian sport? Like, I mean, I know it's a different sport, but do you feel like the media scrutiny here is really high? Like your game?
Massive. Yeah? Massive. Yeah. I feel like, look, especially the fans, they're heavily influenced on what's going on in the media and what's getting put out there.
Yeah.
You know, as unfortunate as it is, it's the day, it's reality. Yeah. You know what I mean? We just got to deal with it. And, you know, especially with like social media, I think that's been the biggest thing that I've noticed. Like, you know, early in my career, social media wasn't that big. Yeah. So scrutiny wasn't that, you know, you didn't see it much. Mm. And, you know, now you see more people, you know, weighing in, putting their opinions out there. And,
do you read them?
Not really, man. Comments? Like, don't get me wrong. I have sometimes, and it definitely weighs heavily on you. Yeah.
So, like, after a bad game or good game, where you look?
Yeah, I think it's more for like my wife, for example. Like, she always has a look, and she'll always when she looks, I kind of can't resist, and I'll have to look as well. But normally, I try not to, man, because at the end of the day, like, I only take advice from people that I care about care about me, and that's all you can do, man, as a professional player.
Yeah, I had an interview with Graham Arnold before. Actually, you know what? I interviewed Graham Arnold when we were 11 wins straight.
Wow.
Right. Wow. And so since then,
he was.
I might refrain from interviewing managers from now on in the national team.
Some sort of curse.
We had a great chat, by the way. No, but he said that. He said that's his biggest problem he's found now coaching the next generation, because he had the Ollie Roos as well.
Oh, wow.
So everyone's under 23. And he goes, mate, it's bad what I see, because the boys finish a game and they're straight on. They're straight on to see what people are saying about them.
Yep.
And he's trying to instill in the boys, like, okay, if it's not your family, if it's not your coach, these people don't know you. These people don't care about you. They're not, why would they? It's not in their interest to give you proper advice. They're just trolls. But he's finding it's the hardest thing of the next generation of athletes. They probably have all the talent. It's whether they can withstand that.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've got a question for you, Manslaw. Mm. So basically, when I always watch NRL interviews and stuff like that, for people in the media, when they finish the game, it seems very generic. Mm. You know what I mean? The answers that they give seem almost robotic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's these people's personalities? Do you feel like there's like some sort of
fear of judgment,
expectation that you have to just give what full the media want, the and then full credit to the boys, and then like
to the boys are classic.
It's nothing to do with the boys.
Three tries in my one game. Credit to the boys.
Is that? Do you feel like that? You guys are kind of given that expectation that you have to give that media answer, and then just like.
I feel like it's sometimes a fear of judgment, really. Like, I feel like you don't really want to open up too much because, you know, sometimes, you know, you just don't want to be judged on what you say. Yeah. You know, that's why you gave the most plainest answer possible and just tell the media what they want to hear sometimes. Yeah. Or actually not what they want to hear. Sometimes you got to, you know, they throw a bit of curveballs at you, but the way you answer, you obviously, it's so much to think about when you're getting interviewed, right?
Because you know that this could like go somewhere or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, depending on what you say.
I know me personally, when I was like early days, like I used to always think that in the interview, like I'll be getting spoken to and like when I answer a question, it's like at the same time I'm thinking about how they're going to spin this. Did I come across the right way? Did I say it the right way? Like, you know, things can get easily spun these days, you know, and how they want it to be.
Well, in comparison to, like, let's say the English, when they interview someone after the game, it's more like you'll see their personality come out a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be less kind of, they'll feel a bit more relaxed. I don't know. Do you feel like that as well?
Maybe the power's a little bit more with the athlete, or the power's a bit more with the manager. We've seen managers rip in a journalist in England. Whereas here, maybe the power's a little bit more with the media. Like, they're more in control and they can ruin you.
Yeah.
Whereas we've seen like Jose Mourinho just ruin a journal.
Like, right there, just being like, on the spot. Like, why'd you ask me that?
Yeah.
Idiot.
He's got an art. It's just an art for him. Far out.
It's true. It's true.
So, I don't know. It could be a bit of a difference, but it's a shame because as an athlete, you shouldn't have to be thinking all that. Like, you should be comfortable. Yeah. You know, we're just having a chat.
Yeah, 100%. But, 100%. Yeah,
that's why Born Offside, man. That's why you come sit down here. Yeah. No judgment at all.
Yeah. Oh, I feel loved here.
if you say anything wrong, we'll just not take it out.
Yeah. God, trust me, if we worried about people saying wrong things, he would not be here. Olan would not be on this couch.
Cancelled a long time ago.
He would have been cancelled a long, long time ago. We've been putting these onside, offside questions out for our fans. They've been performing really well. Everyone's getting involved in them, right? So one of the best ones this week, we asked them, onside, offside, Tony Popovich winning the Asian Champions League with the Wanderers was actually a bigger achievement than Postecoglou winning the Scottish Prem with Celtic, onside or offside.
What? People said that was more...
67% agreed that the Asian Champions League was a bigger achievement.
Oh, nah, that's Aussie bias to a different degree. He's won the Scottish Premier League.
Yeah, but it's not like he took, you know, Hibernian to the title.
Yeah.
I'm no disrespect. I love Ange. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong. But he's taken Celtic to the title.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying...
Whereas Wanderers, an Aussie team has never won the Champions League. So is that more of an achievement than taking a team that has 40, 50 titles?
I don't know.
That's offside? You're allowed to tell me if I'm way offside here, Josh.
The only thing is that Celtic's a big club. One of the biggest clubs in the world. Yeah. But obviously, you look at the Scottish League, you're thinking of Celtic, obviously Rangers.
Yeah.
The rest, no disrespect. Yeah.
They're not really close, are they?
When you say it from that point of view, so you're saying it's basically harder for him to take Wanderers because of the team that they had at that time and how unlikely it was.
Champions League. Yeah, no Aussie had ever won it.
Well, okay, when you say it like that, probably onside.
Yeah. So you can see where they're coming from.
Yeah, definitely.
But you can take nothing away because the size of what Ange's done is definitely bigger, huge, to go over there, and the pressure that he was on from day one.
100%.
Yeah, because they were all questioning him. Who the hell is this guy? An Aussie? Jeez. Yeah. An Aussie playing football? Yeah. Wow. But he's done very, very well. Another one, onside, offside, because we were G'ing up for Argentina to play Brazil in Melbourne. Rumour was there was already about 60,000 tickets sold to the MCG and Argentina have pulled out. Onside or offside? Yeah, they pulled out of it.
Offside.
Bang
without a doubt. Like,
bang offside.
Yeah.
But I can't believe fans been refunded their money and stuff.
Well, I'm sure they're better. It doesn't matter, man. You know?
I hope so, but yeah.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
Such a shame. We've had Rangers pull out of that big game. We know that there was a reason for that. Now Argentina have pulled out. It's like, man, we want these games to go ahead.
What was the reasoning behind it?
I don't know if there's an official reason as of yet. I mean, I know that it's like, you know, they're probably thinking about player welfare. They've just finished their season overseas. They're going to fly away to Australia and play, but... You can't cheer us up like that, man.
Yeah, I know. That happens a lot with the Aussies. They're like, this is coming out. And they're like, actually, it's not happening. I'm like, wow, poor Aussie football fans.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I think everyone's jumped on the All-Star game. And then United are still coming, correct?
United are still coming.
I saw a few tweets or videos about that. Because actual passionate United fans couldn't get a ticket to the game.
They were
like, bro, I love United. I've been waiting for them to come, but I couldn't get a ticket because they sold out so quickly, you know? So that's the thing. I think when teams do come over here, people that just sell out so quickly, the average football fan just fucking goes to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, whereas it's crazy because you don't get the crowds in the A-League. As soon as the European team comes, it just jumps out.
You know?
Well, the All-Stars are playing Barca, right? We're all probably going to be at that game. Yeah. The manager of the All-Stars is Dwight York.
Yeah.
And I did say on the... I heard Predicted little rumours going around. I had a feeling he was going to take the MacArthur role and that's been confirmed.
Yes.
So he's taking MacArthur.
Yeah, you predicted
big
that.
Big coup for the league. As always, we mentioned Australian football fans getting grilled a little bit online because some people are saying, why are we giving York a team in the A-League when he hasn't managed anyone yet? But do you, onside or offside, giving someone that's that big of a superstar, let them start off in the A-League, Olan?
It's a little bit offside for me.
Yeah.
I reckon go let him at least get his stripes in at lower league.
Is it disrespectful to young Aussie coaches?
It's a little bit disrespectful, I think.
Really?
Just because they've given it to him because he's a big name.
Yeah.
And everyone knows who he is.
Yeah.
If he's not didn't have that career, would he have been given the job? Probably not, you know. So it's almost like they've given him that role, but I just feel like it's a bit of a shit in the face of people that are actually putting in that grind and trying to get there a little bit. I feel like that anyway.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of them that can't get a sniff in the A-League. Mm. Apparently, he's great fun on a night out, though. Dwight York. Yeah, apparently, he's absolutely wild. Oh, I've heard of you asking. Actually, Mary Upper said it last week.
I'm not shocked.
There's stories that, he had a great time. Even when he came, he played for Sydney FC.
Yeah, he must have been taking the town.
And that's he would have been having a great time. So I'm keen to see that. Because imagine your manager is Dwight York and knows how to party as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine his team functions.
I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly right.
Sure, Mary Upper will have some stories from me as well when he starts coaching him.
Playing under him. Some more big news, actually. The Asian Cup is next year. So we know we got the Women's World Cup here in Australia.
Yep.
The Asian Cup was supposed to be the month after, right? So it goes Women's World Cup followed by Asian Cup was in China. China have officially pulled out as hosts 1 year out from it. They're not hosting it anymore. It's up for grabs. Should Australia take it?
Without a doubt.
Yeah?
100%. I reckon the new SFS will be the perfect sport for it.
Yeah,
Sydney Football Stadium.
Yeah.
It'll be epic.
That's going to be good.
And yes, it might even bring in a new realm of like fans that just want to come and see.
Well, we had it before you got here. We had it in 2015. Oh. And it was awesome, man. It was so good. Ooh. Like, we're talking Canberra Stadium. Mm. 20,000, 22,000 to watch Iraq versus Iran.
Wow.
Packed. You know, all these games will get in big crowds because we obviously have such a big Asian community. Now, yeah. Lebanon are getting better.
Yeah, they have.
Football. So that will be massive to have them here as well.
Without a doubt, especially in Sydney, but there's such a strong Lebanese community.
Yeah.
I reckon definitely. I remember the World Cup in 2017 when we were playing at Moore Park, and I was playing for Australia at the time. Anyway, I was probably getting me number one that game, but it was just electrifying. Like the atmosphere was just epic, man. Yeah. You had the drums going off the whole game.
Wait, so you switched teams from Australia to Lebanon?
They don't have those rules in rugby league.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Well, you can switch allegiances.
You can do that.
Yeah,
so doesn't matter how many appearances you've had.
Nah.
So you could turn around now and say I'm playing for Australia.
But obviously playing for Australia, you have to be on the top of your game and stuff like that. So in terms of playing in rugby league, it's playing for Australia, especially the place of mob.
I didn't know that.
Could you imagine
if that was in football?
That
would be all guns blazing. That would so many arguments would be popping up with that.
I don't know. I can't remember who it was, but a few players switched allegiances to play for Ghana. Who was it again?
I think it was Hudson-Odoi.
It said that Hudson-Odoi
and Nketiah.
Nketiah.
Both said they're playing for, and there's still people coming out saying, fuck them, blah, 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 because they couldn't get in the England team and stuff like that. So there's a huge uproar when people switch allegiances in football, you know what I mean?
But it makes sense, man. If you're getting overlooked, like if you're a young English player that can't crack into that team, why not? You said you would have played for Nigeria.
For the knee injury and stuff. I would have been there, you know. Nigeria flying the flag. 100% I would have.
There you go.
Well, loved it.
Well, you've got the opportunity at this next World Cup.
Yes.
To potentially, I mean, look, big shout, Lebanon. You got some good players.
But
if you guys can get far enough, did you know where the semi-final of the Rugby League World Cup is?
Where is it? It's Australia.
Emirates Stadium.
Oh,
so you, because you've already fulfilled one dream. You've become a pro NRL player, right? Top of your game and everything. But another one of your dreams would have been to play at Emirates Stadium.
I couldn't even dreamt about that.
Wow. And now this is your chance to play your game, but at Emirates.
I know, man. I know. I remember touring Emirates Stadium, but I was never lucky enough to actually walk on the pitch, but to actually play a game on that pitch.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. I can't dream of it.
Let's manifest it.
That'll be epic. There's a lot of games played in a lot of big stadiums. I know there's a game at St. James's Park as well.
Yeah.
A lot of the Northern teams, they're opening up their stadiums for the games as well. It's going to be pretty cool. Obviously, last year was meant to be played, the World Cup, but due to COVID and stuff like that, it was like a massive player welfare problem. So we decided to delay it. And it's before the Soccer World Cup, before. And depending on when ours finish up, I might go
do
a pit stop. That'll be epic see Cristiano Ronaldo playing maybe potentially his last World Cup.
Yeah.
Have to get a glimpse of that, man. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, because of course you got that Lebanese allegiance, but you got that Portuguese allegiance, right, as well. And it hurts me a little bit still to talk about because I'm Italian and you guys made it instead of us. But I'm glad you beat the Macedonians after what they did to us. You said you had, can you believe this guy? You've been in Rockdale, Illinden?
I've played down there before.
Any Sydney siders, this is like the biggest Macedonian community in Sydney.
Huge.
Josh Mansour went to watch Portugal, Macedonia there in a Portuguese jersey.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Yeah,
you got a death wish.
I survived to live the tale. By the way,
copping it heavy.
But I went to Hurston Park. I normally watch the games there. I remember watching the Euro final at Hurston Park, jam packed.
Yeah.
I was in Origin camp at the time. We were staying in Homebush and snuck out. And I went by myself to watch this game. That's how passionate I was.
Love that.
I walked in. I was sitting at the back, and man, what a final! I wasn't confident. I'm not gonna lie. France has always been our bogey team, and to win that game, and it was like people were crying, I was hugging randoms, and it was just one of the most unbelievable feelings I've ever had. Out of all people,
I think I knew.
Who would have expected
into extra time. When Cristiano went down, I'm like, oh God.
Yeah. And then he turned into like coach on the sideline. I think when he went down, I was like, you know what? Portugal going to win this now.
Yeah.
They're going to win it for him now. You know what I mean? And they went ahead and did it, man. But yeah.
Man, we were under some assault. Griezmann. I think it was hit the crossbar and Patricio made that one. Just got his fingertips to it.
Yeah.
Man, my heart was racing that whole game. man. Huge. It was just it was a good story, but so back to this game. I went to Hurston Park, it was closed. Yeah. Went to Fraser Park, it was closed. So two big Portuguese communities, and they no one was up to watch the game but me.
Yeah.
So then my best mate Jordan, he's like proud Maso, and he's like, man, there's only one spot. And I'm like, where's that? He goes, Rockdale into the sports. So I'm like,
oh,
I go, oh, let's do it, man. You did it for me. You want to come to Hurston Park? You know, we'll go to your home ground.
Yeah.
Minute I walked in, man, I swear the whole place went quiet, just death stared. I'm just like, footy on, just try and walk into the back, and then the whole game, like, I was trying not to cheer, but it was just natural reaction, right? Was something good for us, and then just sit back like that.
That's funny.
Good to get the win. Love that. Into the World Cup, so it was awesome.
Cristiano's last one. You ever seen Ronaldo play live?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Real Madrid versus AS Roma down in Melbourne.
Oh, down in Melbourne, you went to watch him.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I think he played 60 minutes that game, or 45 maybe. But just to see him in the flesh, man, it was just pretty special.
He's just the king of X Factor moments. I actually saw your boys, Portugal, play against Morocco at the last World Cup in Moscow.
No way.
Down to the game, and it was just like, Morocco actually played so well against you that day. But it was just one corner in the box. Ronaldo rises above everyone, scores, hit the suit right in front of us.
Oh, no way.
It was so good.
He's made for the moments, bro. He's just made for the moments.
He's unbelievable. When something tells me he's not done yet, massive World Cup, that one, you got to do your best to get down there. 100%. Ask the missus for some more time.
Tell you what, so obviously got to stop in the Abu Dhabi. One more hour to do Qatar. Surely I got it.
You're right.
Just need to put the permission slip in early. I don't know.
Just slide it in there.
Surely, just one more week, babe.
You reckon you boys got a chance of winning it?
Listen, it's going to be very tough. Do we have the squad? I definitely think so. But you obviously look at the top five teams. You got France there. You got Belgium.
Yeah,
that's a huge.
Yes.
Can never rise Germany.
Spain's coming back now. Germany.
Yeah.
Where did Portugal sit? Not sure. Brazil? Did I say Brazil?
No, they're in there too.
Yeah, Argentina. Yeah. It's a pretty even playing field, man. So we got a favorable group.
Yeah.
Well, we just got to wait and see, man. Just wait and see.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now for some lighthearted stuff, right? I saw this story. This is great. You talk about, you know, remember you were mentioning Man United coming and people trying to get tickets and trying to do their best. They can't even the diehard fans can't get to it. Well, imagine being in a continental final when you try to go. Rangers haven't actually made a European final since, I think it was 2007. The game was played in Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Old Trafford only fits 70,000. 200,000 Rangers fans went to Manchester and just stood outside the stadium because they're mental, right?
Wow. Oh my God.
This time, they're in another final. This time, it's in Sevilla in Spain.
Okay.
Struggle to get tickets, right? Finally, one man, he's got a ticket, but his problem now is accommodation. 23-year-old Rangers fan has taken to Tinder to try and score himself some accommodation
for the
game.
Unreal.
Right,
he's squat with a shorty.
So yeah, exactly right. So he's put a photo of himself here, right? He's managed to write a card in Spanish, right? This is his Tinder profile. It's him holding up this card in Spanish, right? And he's basically saying, "Hi, madam. My name is Connor and I'm a Rangers fan in Seville for the final. I'm desperately searching for a place to stay. Hotels cost more than 600 euros, so if you have a bed or sofa, I can sleep on it. It would be a big help. I'll be prepared to pay for this service. Thank you. Come on, Rangers."
Wow.
That's his message.
That's so far on site.
Yeah, it
is. 100.
I love it. I hope someone actually like reaches out to him and be like, "Yeah, mate. Stay on my sofa."
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea. I should have done that for Magic Round.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, man. Jeez.
Maybe next year, eh?
I wanna see the end of this story.
Hopefully he ends up, I mean, you know, whether Rangers win or not, but maybe he can get something else out of it as well.
He might get a little bit lucky.
Why not?
Who knows?
Yeah, Rangers fans going to Seville, you reckon?
Oh, there'd be thousands and thousands, man.
Good place to go to.
It would be good. Have you been?
No, I was meant to go, but plans fell through, one day maybe, we'll never know.
I mean, especially when you're up in Glasgow, I'm sure sunny Seville would be pretty good for a cup final. Good luck to him. We'll try follow that story up and see how it goes.
Please do
another story from the Premier League. Newcastle United doing quite well. You boys playing them tomorrow morning. We know about the Saudi ownership and they got now stacked for cash and looking like they're going to be buying everyone. They're linked with Neymar, they're linked with everyone. This is surely taking the piss now. This hasn't been confirmed,
Okay,
but there's been a leak of their away kit for next season, right? Newcastle have never had an away kit like this. It's literally same as the Saudi Arabia national jersey. It's a white and green.
That's gotta be bullshit.
That has to be offside. No, that has to be, man. That's too plain.
No, that's G'ing up, man.
You reckon that's just a bullshit leak?
No, it has to be bullshit.
You reckon?
Oh, mate.
I mean, to be fair, it wouldn't even surprise me, man.
Yeah. At this point,
the guy's bought the club, been like, you know what? You're wearing this kit. Yeah. That was probably the condition that you signed. You know what I mean? Just, you're wearing it.
And you know what? If you're a player and your salary's just gone up that much, you wear the kit, man.
Without a doubt. No complaints from me.
But the fans, there'd be an uproar with the fans. Surely the fans would, everyone would go crazy. They wouldn't like that at all.
I don't know. We'll watch that space. But one man who is a swaggy individual, great player as well, Alan Saint-Maximin, plays for Newcastle. Bag of tricks, the guy, in my fantasy. Yeah, in your fantasy. Must have for Fantasy Prem. He has been fined by the FA because this whole season...
Don't tell me it's the LV thing.
It's the Louis Vuitton headband that he's been wearing all season.
Oh, come on, he's got a deal with LV though.
Right,
does he? He does. No, because apparently something happened where he was wearing it and then LV saw it and were like, oh, we'll sponsor you now or something.
Yeah.
But now he gets like free LV headbands.
Yeah, so there's something to do with the kit regulations in the Premier League. You can't be wearing a luxury brand on there, you know what I mean?
But we have something similar in the
Do you really?
Yeah, so you can't wear like a luxury brand like on wrist or...
Yeah, just something, nothing that's not sponsored in, with the NRL. So for example, like the skins, right?
Yeah.
So if your skin's showing too much and you've got the tag of the company there or the business, yeah it's like...
Because it's kind of free advertising for them on national television.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
Because it got me thinking about some other ones. Because you remember OBJ, right? Odell Beckham Jr. In the NFL, he warmed up in the 350K watch at one point.
Is that the Richard Mille or something?
Yeah, that's right. He warmed up in one of those.
Yeah. He's warming up in that watch.
And he got the fine for that.
Everyone, isn't it?
Yeah. Chen's like,
do you know how much the fine was for thingies?
He probably took
for Saint-Maximin.
I'm not too sure what the fine is. We'll see if we can find out that one, but I don't know that. But I mean,
because he's been wearing it for a while. He's been wearing it for at least like a year or two. So they maybe just picked it up recently then.
Yeah.
Or they accumulated all the games he's been wearing it for and just said, slap, here you go.
Yeah. Well,
here's the fine.
Well, we actually had a question here. How does it work with the NRL players and the budgie smugglers then? Because we're always seeing the budgie smugglers out after the game when they celebrate. That's surely free advertising.
So I guess so, but like when you're on the pitch and like you can't have it out.
No.
Obviously, if your shorts get pulled down, obviously it's a different story. It's happened to me a few times, but you know, free advertising for a budgie smuggler, I'm sure they're happy with that. But it's pretty much on the same playing field when it comes to that stuff.
We saw it in the F1 as well because they're banned jewellery. You can't wear jewellery when you're driving in the Formula One. And Lewis Hamilton has just gone... He rocked up to the most recent press conference with three watches on.
No, he didn't. Right,
three watches on. Wow. Rings on every finger. No. Bracelets all up his arm just to take necklaces, just to take the piss. And they're considering he's going to get massive fine, but they're considering banning him if he keeps this up and refuses to take his jewelry off.
He's a kind of like, not rebellious, but like he just does stuff because he just doesn't give a fuck.
That's Lewis Hamilton, man. Yeah. Like, he can't touch
him.
Just him. Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think about this as an athlete? Like, are they a bit too strict on these things?
Well, I don't know. What's the logic behind the jewellery?
Well, like, I think that's a safety logic.
Oh, okay.
I think they're thinking, you know.
I can understand that, but I feel like it's... Wearing a watch while you're driving.
Yeah.
Like, what's the safety in that? Like, I don't know how he's putting his life in danger by doing that. But, I think that's a bit extreme. And I don't know.
We'll go with...
Like, I'm not playing an NRL game with a $300,000 Richard Muller. Like, OBJ.
Yeah, that's a hazard.
It's too much money, man. That makes me sick.
Yeah. Makes me sick.
It's a hazard.
We hit this point in the podcast as well. We love the laughs, but we also love the serious points. And you know, earlier this season with Josh Cavallo coming out,
first
openly gay footballer in the world, which I thought was crazy to think that there wasn't another one. So I had to go to a little bit. Can you believe it? Right, and that's. I mean, obviously, we know that there would be so many out there that don't feel comfortable in professional sport to come out.
Sure.
Yeah. But the latest news out of the UK is that there is apparently. I mean, look, it's the Sun reporting this.
Take it, read into it as you will.
Yeah. But the reports is that there is another footballer that is actually playing in the Championship that is about to come out in an interview at the end of the season, which is next week. Mm. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for that because that's big over there in England. I remember you were saying when Josh Cavallo came out, he's copped a little bit from some fans and you know that that's going to happen because sports fans, mate, they go to the games and they're just idiots.
Of course.
But I think generally the football community from around the world, they really supported
him. I mean, everyone got around him, not even just the football community. You had like Nas tweeting at him, you had like singers, you had rappers, you had like the whole just community, because they realized how big it was for him to do that. And then like now it's probably inspired other people to do it. The championship, the person in the championship coming out. Yeah. And I figured Premier League as well, I'm like, there must be someone.
Surely, like it's a shame that they feel like they probably can't come out. Yeah. And I think like being a professional, because we spoke about it, we've been in football change rooms, right? And you can understand that it'd be
totally.
Like, but especially like you talk footy is like even another level of like this masculinity.
Yeah.
Like even if there would be, it would be such a tough environment to come out.
100%, man. Like I commend Josh. Like
the
amount of bravery to come out and do that, like unbelievable. And it's good to see all the support he's got. You know, he deserves it. Like, but yeah, I could totally understand like why people, if they are gay, like they don't come out. Like, I totally get it, man. It's a tough environment. Yeah. You're like, it's like, you know, alpha males like surrounded, like you know, kill or be killed. Like, you know, if you can't handle a bit of banter, man, you're like you're gone.
Exactly. And like, your opposition, let alone if it's not your opposition, the opposition 100%. Fans will use anything to get in your head.
100%, man.
You can just imagine the chants and all, even the on pitch shit that's being spoken between players. Do you get a lot of that? There's a lot of on field shit.
Spoken. Heaps, man.
Like you're in a scrum, man. Surely they're talking, they're chirping right in your
ear. Thank God I'm not that rough to be in a scrum.
Yeah, you're not in there. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, there's a lot of chirping that goes on. Yeah. So much, man.
Do you feed off it? Do you like it?
I love it, man. Yeah. I crack up. Yeah. I laugh. I laugh. Yeah. It's pretty funny what you hear on the field, but obviously what happens on the field stays on the field.
That's
the best thing about it. Like, nothing's ever taken too personally. Yeah. And so obviously some players do take it a bit personal, I'm sweet.
We actually had a question in here from Sam H. Phillips, right? And it was asking about when you've spent so long at a club and then you have to play against them. I mean, we know like, and even he actually asked, he said, are there any bitter or hard feelings or weird feelings when you play against your former club?
Yeah.
Particularly like, you know, like Penrith, you were part of that success.
Yeah.
And then you've left and they've had the season that they had last year. How is it when you play against them, when you see those boys, is it a bit bitter on the pitch? Or it's...
Man, I won't lie. It was so weird for me. Yeah. It was so weird. Cause I was so emotionally tied to that club. Yeah, like I've played my whole career there, man. Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, it was so hard to see him win the trophy, but at the same time my emotions like were so high for the boys.
You're
like,
proud of them.
100%. I was there when the club was nothing, right? Like, you know, we're 40 million in debt, and then to see him lift the trophy after so long, man. And such a tight community like that, those fans out there, they're so proud of that club.
Yeah.
And they're so loyal, man. And you know what to say, like they deserved it. Like I saw all the hard work put in, every training session, particularly in that 2020 season. Like for me, that was one of the hardest pre-seasons I've ever done.
Really?
The most committed pre-seasons I've personally done. But as a team, as a whole, everyone on the same wavelength, man. It's so rare to have, like everyone just wanted to win. Like not in games, but every training session.
That's awesome.
And I kid you not, like I reckon there was only two training sessions where we were kind of off.
Yeah.
Wow. Every other training session, boys are on.
Yeah, so it's boys no secret. That's why you dominate on the weekend, eh?
Man, it was crazy, man. Like to only lose one regular season game,
that is crazy.
And then obviously that year we lost the grand final. Yeah, which was unfortunate, but man, just say like it was just a great season. But to follow up the next season, like to win it, like personally, it was a bit weird, but
a bittersweet one.
But sort of.
Mate, the fans out there are awesome. The Penrith fans out there, they love it.
I was there last week. Well, was it last week? The week? Yeah, last week.
You were obsessed with the cheerleaders, but that's all you were talking about. The whole time, that's all he was talking about.
No comment. I was there for content. it was crazy to just go down there and see the passion, the fans. It's a real non-league feel.
Mm.
So like how the stands are and how the fans are, there's the hill bit. And then it feels like almost like a League Two club where like the fans are real close on the players. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love that, man. It was wicked. It was wicked. It was a great experience.
As a player, that field was one of the best to play on.
Yeah.
Epic, man. So atmosphere is so good. Like as a fan, like you're close to the action. But now they're building a new stadium out there, so that'll be interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know if they're knocking down the current one.
Yeah.
But they're definitely building a new, I think it's 50, 55.
Because it looks like that ground's pretty old.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's, when they first started, 1967? I think it was.
It's got that feel to it.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how big, Bankwest, or is it Bankwest? Combank Stadium now. That's going to be similar feel to that.
Yeah, so it's nice. Keep it, don't make it too big. Like, I like when they keep it decent size so that it doesn't feel empty, like when you're playing at ANZ or something. Mm. I like when they keep the stadiums nice and small, compact, and the sound, the acoustics, that's what we need. But you know, I was thinking about that because like, obviously you were part of so much success at Penrith. You were part of that team in 2020 is unbelievable. But then you left and they won that title. And you know what I was thinking? You know who I compared Joshy to? Mm. Who's Chelsea's best player of the last decade?
Lamps, Drogba.
After the Lamps and Drogba era, who was just unbelievable for Chelsea? tore these boys to shreds. Yeah, exactly right, right? And if you look at Hazard's career at Chelsea, rocked up in 2013, so he just missed the Champions League. And he was the best player, bro, and like loved by everyone. Yeah, and then he left and we win the Champions League the next year with a team that wasn't as good. And
when he played.
And I was filthy when he went to Chelsea. I thought Arsenal had a good crack at him to sign him, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah, no, he's a gun. Like, obviously, it's so sad to not see it. Like, success at Real Madrid, him being on the pitch, it's just been... I've heard like he might be leaving as well. So
it wouldn't surprise me if he did leave, you know, because I mean, last two seasons I can't tell you what Hazard's done.
No, nothing.
I can't think of a highlight. I can't think of any special moment at Madrid. I can't think
too
of
many
nothing.
Injuries, man.
You know what I mean? Too many injuries. So I think he might be thinking like he wants to rejuvenate his career and move elsewhere.
I actually did read he was linked to Arsenal. So
can
you
take it? You take it.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
All these links to Arsenal.
How many are there? I've lost count.
You've been linked to everyone, man.
This guy's probably linked to Haaland at one point.
Arsenal almost signed him, and he's not even there.
I'll tell you what, a bit of a left field one. We talk about Belgium. We talk about Eden Hazard. He'll be big for them. He always does step up for Belgium. Mm-mm. Eurovision was over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. What's something about this?
You boys were close. United Kingdom were close. They didn't end up winning it. Ukraine ended up winning it, which is an amazing story for them. And they're gonna host it next year and everything. But Belgium, I think they came 19th out of 25 in the final. Mm. But their performer, Jeremy McKeezy, is actually a goalkeeper in the top tier of football in Belgium.
What?
He went to Eurovision and performed. He won The Voice while being a pro footballer.
Wow. No, he didn't.
He did.
No way.
He won The Voice in 2021 and now he's gone to Eurovision and performed. Geez. So, okay, he didn't win it, but that is some...
That's some achievement. Yeah.
And I was thinking, surely, I don't know if you guys do initiation songs and that in the footy, but
you kill it.
Any other boys, like good singers that you've played with?
Jerome Luai, I've heard of, he's a grouse singer.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's a grouse. Really? He's a pretty good singer. Mate, it's the most daunting thing.
Did you have to sing at South?
Nah.
How did you get out of that?
I've been lucky enough not to do any of that.
Do the initiation.
There's not much of an initiation process at South at the moment.
Really?
Okay. I think we might have to
start something. You've got to get that going.
100%.
You've got to get that going.
Dance or something.
Yeah. Have you ever had to do it a lot?
Every single English club that I've played for, non-league, all the way down to Sunday League, initiation.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Get up, sing in front of the boys, feel embarrassed and shit. But I always sing, what do I normally sing? Like some 50 Cent song or something.
50 Cent?
Yeah, something like that.
My go-to is Robbie Williams.
Really?
I go with Robbie Williams. I feel like his voice is an achievable voice. He's awesome, but you can kind of like, one goes too high. You get through Robbie Williams, you know?
That Adele stuff, you're just trying to get notes.
Nah, you steer clear of that. No. Ed Sheeran, they steer clear of all those guys.
No,
I feel you.
But you talk about singers, you talk about rappers. Alfonso Davies, he's back playing for Bayern.
Okay, yep.
Back playing, he's going to light it up for Canada at the World Cup, no doubt. What a player.
Amazing.
Popped up in a German rap song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's part of a trio of German rappers called Stuhlgang.
What?
Right.
What's it called? What is that? Do you know what that means? Do you know what Stuhl means? What does it mean?
Stuhlgang. I don't know. We'll try to get producer Shabs on and see if he can look that one up. He popped up in a rap song, and so he's in the music video, everything. And look, Memphis Depay's done it.
Memphis Depay's one's not too bad. Like, he's kind of like rapping stuff.
Yeah,
not bad.
Not bad, right? We're footballers rapping. What, offside or onside?
If your team's winning, onside.
100%. Don't need that added pressure.
Yeah, if your team's not doing well, probably a little bit offside. Yeah, that's what I'd say for sure. But I like it when athletes venture into something different that's not to do with what everyone sees them doing. You know what I mean? Like you coming here doing this with us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just to have a different interest so people can see a different part of their personality. I think that's huge.
It's massive.
I agree. I think most athletes they're scared of getting taken the piss out of.
Yeah.
That's the fear, right?
Yeah.
Just being doing their own thing and like going on different things and. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, again, it's the fear of judgment, man. That's the biggest thing that holds athletes back, right?
It's funny. I've found in my career, like interviewing athletes and speaking to them, I always thought, being quite young, I've always thought, you know, okay, when I get a 20, 21, 22-year-old athlete, they're going to be the best to chat to because they're young and energetic. Mm. And it's actually not. They're usually the ones that are scared.
Yeah, 100%.
When you get the ones that have made it and they're at that end of their career, they're usually the best talent.
Yeah.
You know, I spoke this season with Cesc Fabregas on my show, and he was just like chill and laughing about stuff. And you can ask him about players, he'll tell you honest opinions. And he was just like, because when they're at that point, it's like, I'm Cesc Fabregas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I made a name for himself.
Exactly. So it's good to see. So why not Alfonso Davies jump into it? Any rappers in the NRL?
Yeah. Can we get.
I think we do. No, I don't think
get,
we do.
Get me in like one of Rabbit's players on a track.
What, you going to call yourself a rapper?
Yeah. I'm a, what's it, a mogul? You know, when you just do everything, that's me.
Exactly.
Do
right.
it all, man. Yeah. At a very low level. So. That's it, man.
I'll pay for that. I'll pay to say that. I'll pay to say that.
That'll be funny. That's I reckon me out of a car on a track would go off.
Oh, yeah. I reckon too. That'd be big. You have to put his laugh in there somewhere. Yeah, yeah, it'd probably be in the background as a beat or something.
Just his laugh. Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Thanks,
well,
funny.
We had Joey Chamness. There was a rapper in the A-League. He stopped for a year. So playing professionally in the A-League, stops for a year and goes to LA to try his rap career and then came back and keeps playing.
Yeah, crazy.
He managed to put it on hold and come back. Crazy. I remember you pissing yourself when you heard
very
that story.
Well there. He's done very well to come back and get a career after that.
Yeah.
I think with soccer players venturing in different careers, I saw that. I think it was the Wolfsburg keeper. He went and done professional wrestling or something like that.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, I forgot his name though.
Really?
It's weird, right?
That's crazy.
It's random.
Yeah,
he looks so jacked now too. Yeah, like, really? He's jacked.
It's always football players that just go do like something just random, isn't it? Like,
love to see it. Why not?
Completely random. Yeah, I love that. I'm a fan of it.
Why not? Big shout out while you do talk German football. Big shout out to Schalke, who's won the second division. They're back up in the Bundesliga.
Oh, I love that.
Werder Bremen are second. So huge clubs. And Hamburg are third. So three massive clubs won German titles, won European titles. They're all looking like they're coming back up. And that whole promotion relegation. We've been talking about it in Australian football for a long time. Do you think it'd be a good idea to have it in Australian football?
For sure, man. Yeah? I'd love it. It just adds a bit of excitement, you know what I mean, towards the back end of the year. And if your team's not doing too well, like, you got something to look forward to or not to look forward to.
Yeah.
That adds to excitement, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, onside for me.
What could you ever imagine it in the rugby league?
Oh,
how weird would that be?
Yeah, that would be weird. But you still got a few clubs in, like, say, New South Wales Cup, which is our reserve grade. Like, you've got Newtown Jets, the North Sydney Bears, proud clubs.
Look at
Redcliffe
coming up now as well, right? Like, I don't know if it's going to be the exact club coming up, but regardless, there are those passionate supporters in the level below.
Yeah.
But imagine that relegation in the footy.
I'm always a fan of it because I feel like that's when you see the best performances are the top half of the table, sometimes in the bottom half of the table. Because they're putting everything on the line. They don't want to see that team get relegated. They're going to go out there and give their 110% because they want the team to survive. You
Something
know?
To
so
play
I,
for.
Yeah. So and I think Zlatan said it maybe when he was playing in the MLS. He was like, sometimes these clubs at the bottom of the table, they've just got nothing to play for. There's no fear. Yeah. You know that even if you do.
That's when he was in America.
Yeah, when he was in America. He said, even if you know your team not doing too well, but there's no fear of I got to go out there the last couple games because you know your team's still going to be in the same league, you know? So that's the only thing.
And different sports have different cultures, you know? It works for footy, it works for AFL, and I think, you know, you got that whole wooden spoon thing, you want to avoid that kind of thing because people will keep that against you forever. Yeah. So they've got their own thing. But for football, I think it just needs promo and relo. Like, it's different to the other codes. It's a whole different thing. So we'd love to see it one day, but let's see. I'm not holding my breath on that one. Bit of a funny story that came out as well. Last one I want to finish off on. Jamie Carragher. He's a big name, right? But he just gets the piss taken out of him a lot, right? Like, always on his football shows, he gets the piss taken out of him. Once upon a time, a fairly big name. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was in Aston Villa's tunnel before their game. I think it might have been the Liverpool game against Liverpool, So Steven Gerrard was obviously managing against Liverpool. Carragher goes to the game. Yeah. He's in the tunnel. He's been kicked out. There's a video. He's been kicked out by the steward. Because they don't know who he is, right?
Oh, come on.
The best part about it was he said he was Jamie Carragher. Again, she's kicked him out. The best part about it was he said he's Steven Gerrard's mate.
No, he didn't. That's the best.
He tried to claim one to Steven. Surely Stevie G's verified and said, hey, this is Carragher, mate.
He actually got kicked out. The steward was just doing her job. He didn't have the right accreditation to be there. Onside or offside, she's just doing her job.
That's onside.
That's
ruthless.
That's
ruthless.
It's bad that she didn't know who Jamie Carragher was.
Yeah.
But that's hilarious. That would happen to Carragher. You know that wouldn't happen to Neville. You know, Neville would pull some sort of strings.
I'm
going Neville, mate. He pulls some sort of a Carragher.
He always
cops it, doesn't he? That's funny, man. So there's a video as well.
That would be
going viral, that one. That'd be hilarious.
And I love when they do that because I know Chelsea did that recently. I think it was against Real Madrid in the Champions League. Mm. There was the steward at the front where the players arrived.
I saw that.
Checking ID for everyone.
I saw that.
So like Benzema couldn't get in and he's like, no, asking for his ID. And Benzema couldn't find his ID. He's like, no. Until you show me your ID, you can't get in. It's like, bro, like,
mate, I'm fucking Benzema.
Just look at the highlights from the last game.
I'm literally Benzema. What do you mean?
Man, the amount of times I've lost my accreditation going into a stadium, and this is making me paranoid now. I'm really trying to bring it with me every time.
And they don't let you in?
Nah, they're pretty chill. Yeah. You get off the team bus, you know, like. Yeah. you're obviously a player. Yeah. You're not just some random
And you don't
fan.
Want to be rude, but you could just be like, just Google me, bro. Like,
oh, yeah. I could not do that. Yeah. I could not do that. But if it comes down to it.
Google me, bro. Massive, massive.
I'm thinking of doing like a skit where I just go and like go with the para team for like one day.
Yeah.
Just like pretend to be a player. Just go on the bus and everything. Just full para kit, like with all Mitchell Moses and all of them. Man, I'll just roll in with them and just be like, yeah, what's going on? And just warm up and everything.
See how like, far you can get.
See how far I can get. Like, that'll be epic. How funny would that be? I'm thinking of doing it. I'm going to try and set it up.
And the moment they see your handling, bro, they were just straight away.
No.
I've seen a soccer fan do it, like full kitted up after a game, just jumped on the pitch and like, was just blending in with the players, and everyone like none of the security recognized him. Like, this guy. What the hell? Photos and stuff. Yeah. Oh man, unreal.
It's
I'm definitely
so good.
Try that, man.
You got to give it a go. You got to give it a go. We're at that point of our pod now where we're gonna look at some of these fan questions. But guys, before then, I just want to say a big thank you because the support's been awesome. We had Adrian Mariappa on the show last week. We saw the numbers go through the roof. You guys supporting us as you always do. The 5-star ratings rolling in on Spotify and on Apple Music. So big love to you guys. Another big guest here today, Josh Mansour. So make sure you show him some love. And actually, I'm going to take this chance to say that, you know, we talk about footballers and athletes doing stuff away from the sport. Josh, you're venturing into some other business ventures now at this point of your career.
I am, bro. Bit of uncharted territory for me. Yeah. It's like a pre-sale renovation company. Yeah. So, me and the boys at dinner one night. I should say a late dinner at 2 a.m. in the morning. we're just, you know, going off ideas and we're all a construction and real estate background.
Yeah.
And we thought about this idea. And I think the best part of the business is that no owner of their home has to pay up front.
Yeah.
They just pay on settlement. So we'll go and renovate the property to the best standards we can get it to, put it on the market so they can get a premium price, sell it, then we get paid. So I think that's been the best thing, like, you know, to alleviate stress about financially, like them having to renovate themselves, them having to look for trades themselves.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a pretty daunting task to kind of, you know, sell your home in the first place, but especially like, you know, you're getting it done at the best possible outcome.
Massive. Awesome, guys. Check him out. Make sure you check out Josh's socials as well. Give him all the support, not only in his footy career, but in everything else that he's doing at the moment.
Appreciate
one last
it,
question from you. Nathan Carlos, I have a feeling he's Portuguese because he wants to know about your Portuguese heritage. He's gone, given your Portuguese heritage, Josh, who does your family support over there in Portugal?
Benfica.
Oh,
kind of split, actually. Sporting and Benfica.
Okay.
I was very close with my uncle and he supported Benfica, was proud supporter. And yeah, I started supporting them, man. I love the Eagles. And if I can go over there and watch a game, man, that's definitely on my bucket list. Yeah. I think my mum's from the tiny island of Madeira. So I think the team over there is Nacional and Marítimo. You said a bit of me. And I've actually been over there. So I would love to go back one day and take my family. And
that's awesome.
You know, yeah, so if I get the opportunity, man, I'll take it with both hands, but we'll see what happens.
Get down to the Stadio da Luz, mate. Yeah. Benfica.
Oh,
it was a tough year for them, Porto winning the league. Over there, I got some good mates, big Porto fans.
Oh,
but,
really?
But I love Portuguese football, and the best talents come out of there, man. I don't know how they find Luis Diaz now.
They just find talents that just fly off the radar. They'll just come in and they're like, who is this guy? And it's Portuguese brother, you know, so it always happens.
Look, got another one for you. I know your answer to this one. I'm going to ask you anyway because Harry Scobie is a big fan of the show. He's always sending in questions. I know your answer already. Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo.
Oh, Ronaldo.
He's Portuguese, bro.
I get asked that question all the time.
It's a no contest?
For me, no contest.
Yeah.
You know, am I being biased? 110%. But I've always looked up to Ronaldo. He's like on the right seat of God. He's got his own the airport's
he's
named
the
after
airport,
him. He's got the museum.
Yeah.
He's got his statue.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's God, and he's got the keys to the whole country.
That's
Ronaldo. I think it'd be different, to be totally honest. Like,
you've got to appreciate them both, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Surely as an athlete, you just got to love both of them. But I can understand the Ronaldo affiliation.
One NRL one.
Yeah, go on.
Who's one player that you've taken the hardest like hit from in obviously playing on the wing, you get hit quite a bit, right?
I take a run right in the corner. I love it so much.
You just see these big fella coming on, the line is just
four blokes at once.
Who's one player, or even one player that's when they're running at you like, this is gonna be, I got to brace
I'll
myself.
I'll tell you one story. 2014, my shoulder was hanging by a thread. And we're playing the Warriors down in NZ.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know Conrad Hurrell. He's a centre, big stocky fella. He used to play for the Warriors, played for the Gold Coast Titans. Yeah. He's over in St. Helens now.
Okay,
in England.
Okay, cool.
I'll never forget. We were defending our line, and he got an early ball, and he was coming right at me, man. I didn't jam, so I was waiting for my center to come get him.
Yeah.
And I went to jam him last minute. Bang! Just bumped over.
Oh.
Bumped me and just pretty much trampled me. Feet on my face. And at the same time, my shoulder was dislocated. And I'm staring at the heaven. Just in this vulnerable state.
Oh, like, my God.
And it just popped back into place, and I'm like, wow.
That is crazy. We're going to get the video of that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it'll be out there. And he scored.
So just like a steam train.
Yeah, man. He was just built like a rock. So
there's some big guys in there.
Man.
That's the one thing. Been watching it. I've been like, can I play this sport? I see some hits. I'm like,
you know when you're a centre back, right? Because I'm a centre back as well. You're a centre back, you think you're a tough guy.
Yeah, I think you
And then
think
you go
are.
Watch that.
You watch
like,
that. And
hell
like,
no, bro. I wouldn't last 5 minutes. Some tough hits. That's a good question. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully, we'll get to see Joshy Mansell out on the football pitch one day. But whether it's a charity match or just a game, we've got to try to organise. I want to see you.
Five-a-side or something like
that. Five-a-side. I want to see
like you. I've played five-a-side with my mates at PCYC Marrickville.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been there before. And I was at Penrith at the time. They didn't know that I was playing, but I don't know if it was the right move. But we ended up going to the final. But I couldn't play on the day because I was actually playing. So training. You never know.
Maybe. What are you, a back to goal kind of player, or surely use that strength?
Yeah, you have to.
We should get like a born offside, like five or six.
Yeah, we'll get Mariapps
in.
Either side.
Yeah,
chuck Josh up front.
Yeah, that'll be
Let's
good.
Do it,
brilliant.
Let's do
that'd
it.
Be funny. We'll make it happen.
Great concept. Awesome.
We want to see it, guys. Thanks so much for joining us on another edition of Born Offside. Hopefully, Cat's back next week, and we'll see you all then for all the latest in the world game. Catch us.
See you guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.